Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Welcome. This is Mindshifters Radio. I am your substitute, fill-in for Michael and Jeannie this week, Dr. Tim Hayes, psychologist in Crystal Lake. Hopefully we have with us Michelle Pichet, running the switchboard in the chat room. And we're here to, as the intro says, that beautiful song and intro, talk about the ancient Aramaic, the first century process of forgiveness. And this process lets us release, identify, dismantle, release whatever doesn't belong in our system. Anything that doesn't belong in our system that creates anger, fear, sadness, and hurt triggers our alarm system to let us know that we have something in our system that shouldn't be there. And Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice have put together a fabulous website at www.whyagain.org. And on this website, you can log in. you can go to that website, and without having to log in, without having to give a password or pay any money or even give your email address, you can download a host of tools that will allow you to improve the quality of your life, the mental, the emotional, and the physical qualities of your life. If you click on the red and white bullseye on the first page, it'll take you to a page where you can download Chapter 24 of Michael's book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? You can download the 7-step version of the worksheet, the most recent version. And you can download a series of audio files of shows like this where Michael or Jeannie have stepped people through this process of the ancient Aramaic process of healing and forgiveness. And in that relatively short and very focused process, you can identify the true source of your pain, internal pain, fear, sadness, hurt, resentment, loss, negative self-judgments, which are always inside you. It isn't possible for something outside of you to cause a feeling inside of you. And we're living in a culture that has trained us to believe that the people and the places and the situations outside of us have created what we're feeling inside of us, and that has set us on a never-ending wild goose chase to change the people and the places and the things outside of us so that we don't have to feel the pain inside of us. And that leaves us vulnerable to being manipulated and deceived and distracted from the true source of our joy and the true source of our pain and the true source of our sadness, which is inside. And one of the things that became clear to Michael when he was looking at the ancient Aramaic text of the Kabur's manuscript, which is the oldest known copy of the New Testament. And he was in charge of a group, or still is in charge of the foundation that's trying to translate that from the ancient Aramaic directly into English. And one of the things that became obvious to him was that it was known in the ancient Aramaic that the word forgiveness, or the process of forgiveness, is an internal process. It's not an external process. And the Greeks, who had a culture that was all externally focused, the gods were external, the powers were external, they translated the ancient Aramaic process, and they took this concept that was completely foreign to them, the idea that the power is internal in an individual, and that the cause of pain is internal in an individual, and they tried to make sense of it, and they did the best they could, and they gave it the same meaning as their process of pardoning, which means everybody agrees somebody did something horrible and they should be punished, but we will let them off the hook. We will let them get away without being punished or as punished as severely. And that was the only thing the Greeks could understand. And so when they found this concept in the ancient Aramaic that didn't really fit anything they have, they assigned it the meaning for pardoning, and they called it forgiveness. And in the ancient Aramaic, there was a word, shebag, which meant to cancel, to dismantle, to cut off. And that meant an internal process to remove from inside my energy system what doesn't belong there. And that's the gift of the ancient Aramaic process of forgiveness, is the bigger picture understanding that I'm the one creating everything I'm feeling. It's the kind of understanding that someone like Nelson Mandela had. It's the kind of understanding of people who were in Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. He was in a concentration camp, and he realized he controlled his responses to these outside events. The outside events didn't control his internal response. He found he could be compassionate to others, even though they were torturing him and starving him. He found, like Nelson Mandela did when he was thrown in prison, that they could do things to and with his body, but that could not control his choice of response, that he could choose to focus on love. He could choose to focus on hope and healing, and he could have an internal experience of joy without having to wait for outside circumstances to change. And the ancient Aramaic process of forgiveness understood this, and they understood that because it's all being created internally, it's a huge mistake to focus on anything outside of me whenever I'm upset. For when I do that, I completely eliminate my possibility for removing or dismantling or moving through my upset. That's what we're here to talk about. That's what we're here to teach. That's what we're here to help support people in applying in their lives. We do that to the best of our ability 5 days a week, and we're glad you're here to join us. We're appreciative of everyone who spends their time to tune in, to learn these tools, to apply these tools, and improve the quality of their life. Because as you improve the quality of your life, you make this world we're living in a better place, energetically, moment by moment. And that's what we're here to do and support people in doing. And let me just take a moment's breath and ask if Michelle, have you joined us?
Good morning, Dr. Tim. Hi, I'm here. I see you opened the chat room, so thank you for catching up. I was borrowing my secretary's computer today, and I didn't realize that she didn't have flash on her server, so I had to get other computers going on. So our intro, I missed it, but now I have some worksheet material because I really got triggered by this. I had been working over the weekend to make sure this wouldn't happen, and invariably it did.
Well, what a gift for you to have this upset be triggered, so now you can remove it. And what a gift to have the tools with which to do that. So let me just say, now that you're here, that today is Monday, January 26th, and we're glad to have you here.
And thank you.
Do you have the computer up and running, and do you have the chat room open, and do we have anybody with a hand up or any questions before I launch
yep.
into another? Go ahead.
We've got people are in the chat room, yes, and we've got several 20 callers on the program right now, so plenty of opportunity to raise your hand and press 1, and that will connect us to talk to Tim and process questions, comments, whatever you got going on, because then that makes this your show.
Well, please feel free to interrupt me if someone does raise a hand. I was thinking about what to talk about here in our first few days with Michael and Jeannie taking a hiatus to try and get some written work done. And I was struck by how many times as I was reading A Course in Miracles recently that the talk about the need to give to others exactly what I want or I think I need comes up over and over and over again. And it, as I'm reading it, I keep thinking about Einstein's quote about if you think you are separate or separated from anyone or anything in this life, you're living in an optical delusion. We're all connected. We're all made of energy. We're connected with levels of energy that we can't register with our eyes and our ears and our physical senses. And it is as real, despite the fact that we can't sense it with our senses, as everything we're sensing with our senses. So, despite the fact that I can't register with my eyes the level of energy which connects me and the tree I'm looking at out my window, that energy, that level of connection, is as real or more real than the image my mind creates when it looks out and sees light bouncing off an object away from me. That the image that appears in my mind is not the same thing as what's outside of me. And that actuality, the way things actually are outside of me, can vary tremendously from the image my mind creates. So here's an idea. Michelle is holding an idea that because she didn't have the computer set up the right way and she wasn't able to log in right away and do her intro the way she wanted to, that there's something wrong with her. And it's generating anger or fear or sadness or frustration. And the fact of the matter is, not one iota has changed in Michelle's value, in her worth as a person, in her true nature as the essence of love, as the energy of creation, trying to express as her, and yet her mind is creating images very different from her true nature as the energy of love. Her mind is creating images of her as being less than competent or worthy of insult, which her mind then creates to make everything fit.
Not good enough, inadequate, poor time management.
And you can feel those, Michelle, as though they are as real as the desk in front of you. However, they're not real at all. And the point of this work is to acknowledge what's actually happening in life. That the fact that you're here at any level to have a physical body and perception on this plane means you are the extension of love in form. You are the energy of love trying to express through you. And that can't be diminished. It can't be tarnished. It can't be disrupted in any way. And so everything that shows up in your perception to the contrary is false.
My tears felt real.
Well, as it says in Way of Mastery, an illusion in an illusory world has great power. But an illusion has no power in a real world. And so the essence of our being is this energy of creation that is trying to express through us. And it can be said and has been said in many sacred texts that your purpose on this plane is to bless all of creation. That your purpose is to learn more about your true nature and learn to extend that to yourself and everyone and everything in every moment. And as I was talking about in the way of readings I did in the Course in Miracles recently, it says, if you would know your Creator, if you would know your true nature, you must know that every bit of that is true of your brother. You must see in your brother that which you would have be true of yourself. You must learn, as Michael Rice talks about in the Ancient Aramaic, the definition for humility is the ability to see the highest and best in another person, even if they are not seeing it in themselves, even if they are not acting from it, to see the highest and best in another person and then choose to cooperate only with that highest and best. And that other person in this case also becomes your image of yourself, Michelle. That other person is this false image you've created of yourself as being less than love. And true humility means connecting with your true nature as love, despite all of these other imperfections that your perceptions and your mind, inner mind chatter and judgments will tell you about yourself, and refusing to cooperate with anything that's less than love, and cooperating with seeing, feeling, and blessing your true nature as the energy of creation, even when the chat room doesn't come up, even when the flash isn't loaded on your computer, even when it's all your fault because you didn't plan enough, and you're not good enough, and you're inadequate. And those thoughts race in your mind as a distraction from the truth of your being.
With hard evidence, right? I've got this amazing opportunity to support the Rices and the work.
What hard evidence are you talking about?
That I screwed it up. I wasn't where I needed to be at the exact moment I needed to be there, and I let you down. I let the Rices down. I let myself down.
All of that is false.
There's
no hard evidence. As a matter of fact, in this moment, you're presenting a teaching moment for yourself and everyone listening.
I understand that too.
And nothing can be more perfect than that. Nothing can be more perfect than the way your life is evolving each moment.
Really, you know, you could say I set it up because it was going to slow day for Hands Up and create an opportunity on the spot. I believe it came up because what I'm really working on most currently is dismantling my beliefs related to being perfect and putting more time, energy, attention on myself instead of other people. And so they kind of are tied together. And so it is great that, you know, you can use the example and provide feedback for me and other people, like on the spot in this time. You know, I always find it interesting because I know these concepts, I practice these concepts, and I teach these concepts, and yet while those all that's happening, right? And you know, I can hear the pause after the intro music's done, and then your voice starting to share, and you know, I'm listening to this all unfold while I'm keying away frantically, trying to make the machine work, and all the tears, you know, and those emotions are like just bubbling up. And my doctor, my supervisor, was helping me. He's like, you know, Michelle, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Like, you know, reminding me in that exact moment. And yet, that disintegrative content that I still am working to dissolve felt more powerful, you know, in that one moment, whatever the illusion that I'm creating. And so I think, you know, the opportunity to practice is available, but sometimes that default of just like, I mean, coming out of it sooner after the fact is great, and I'm minimizing the time that I spend in sewage, but just, you know, it's frustrating sometimes that even, it's not frustrating, it triggers my frustration that, you know, that it is coming up, those alarm bells of those negative emotions still present.
Well, and isn't it a blessing that they do? Because if they weren't sounding the alarm, if it felt good to say all those horrible things about yourself, you might continue on that path, thinking that you were accurate. But because it's uncomfortable, and because you have a drive to live connected to the comfort, to the peace, to the joyful living, to the joyful expression of creation that you were put here to do, you have a motivation to change something. And you might have noticed, you know, you're, what, 27, 28 years old already, so you might as well notice after 27 or 28 years of trying, you can't beat yourself up enough to make it perfect. You can't try hard enough to avoid missteps. You can't hate yourself enough to the point where you learn to love yourself. The two are incompatible. So it's a blessing that it feels sad, hurt, painful, because that's your alarm system telling you your thoughts are off the mark. And as you've said, because you've practiced these skills, you're getting better at recognizing, so you spend less time in the sewage, as you call it, and sooner rather than later, you take a breath, you take another breath, you make your home in the breathing unity, and you let something other than your conscious logical mind inform you as to your true nature. And as you breathe, you soften whatever is tight or tense or rigid within you, and you let those painful tensions come up, let them get softened by the breath, and move out. You can then move into the actual forgiveness process, which is identify a goal and cancel it. You can then ask again for assistance to see the hidden part of your mind that's actually creating the pain. Once the goal has been canceled, and you can move through what used to take you weeks or months to experience or to resolve, and maybe a few years ago, it would not have gotten resolved. It would have just been adding to your baggage and adding to this quote, hard evidence you have. Which is nothing. There's no hard evidence there at all. There's no hard evidence there at all. There's no negative judgment coming at you from anyone other than yourself.
Tim, that aspect that you just defined as far as the minimizing of the length of time, staying in a lower vibration feeling is definitely shortening. Because if I
look at you, just look at you right now. Just listen to your voice right now. The first few times that you were on the air and and you were less than perfect, you literally ended the show tied in knots.
That's
and
true.
Still had it resonating in your voice and apologizing for it the next time you were on the air, whether it was the next day or a week later, you would go back to, oh, I screwed it up last week, and and you could hear it in your voice back then. Here you are minutes
wow.
after.
That's
minutes
cool,
after.
I remember that.
Well, in the past, you would have already clicked three other callers on to deflect so we wouldn't be talking about you and what went on with you. Your ability to use these tools has grown by leaps and bounds, and you're benefiting from it. And
well,
just breathe into that. Don't intellectualize it. Just breathe into that and breathe into the blessing that your willingness to share that and do this work is to everyone listening. For anyone who has the eyes to see and the ears to hear, this is a living demonstration of the power of these tools.
Well, thank you. I'm definitely feeling mellow. And at 9 a.m., my first client this morning, I was talking about, you know, the fire alarm in the house. And do you take out the batteries and, you know, keep watching the movie? Or do you use your emotions as early warning radar that your thoughts aren't right and what's up and breathe into it and all that? And, you know, the irony, I'm like, you know, it's related to radio show. So, as far as distracting with a caller, I am going to take that opportunity because I'm sure Rex wants to give me a little feedback because he's helping me work on some of the stuff we've outlined today. So, hi, Rex.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
Hi, Dr. Tim.
Hi, Rex.
How's everybody doing?
Great.
You get the judge. You've been listening. How we doing?
I've been listening. Fantastic. Almost the first phrase out of your mouth, Michelle, was I was really doing all this effort and all this work to make sure I don't screw it up. And
yes.
You were successful if you perceived what you did to screw up, you know. What I saw was it wasn't that you had made any mistakes. You maybe had set a goal based on an idea system of screwing up, which would have been based on fear or hostility to some degree, if not totally. And then you set that goal to be perfect, which you already are, and you set the goal to be better or more perfect to get something you wanted from the program to be in service, and then you, quote, had an experience that was screwing it up, which my observation is, I wouldn't even have known you screwed up, quote, I'm putting air quotes on screwing up. I wouldn't even have known it if you hadn't described it. And I'm sure 99% of the callers that got on the program wouldn't have known. The other 1% would be Tim and you. And I find it interesting. I love how it's being handled, too, because, yes, I acknowledge how much growth you've made in moving through the movement through things as they come up and not having it be something that, you know, you go unconscious with, or I happen to go unconscious with for an extended period of time, we're able to regain our awareness. So I acknowledge you, and also just to give that feedback is that, yes, of course, whatever you have in your content and your reality structure is what you're going to experience, and then as well as whenever I have something in my reality structure, depending on the intention and what I'm working with, I'm going to get an intensification of that reality coming to me from the world.
I see that.
And you are awesome.
We're practicing. Thank you, Rex. I appreciate it. You've really been helpful over the last few weeks. Well, last 18 months, but you've been very supportive, and thank you for holding a space while I'm catching up.
You bet. Well, you know, the thing I'm hearing you catch up is that you're catching up, that there's nothing to catch up to. You're already there. You just don't believe it yet. And I'm not there unless I believe it. I mean, I'm already there. It's just that at times I don't believe it fully. And on that note, I wanted to share something. I've been looking at some videos on the internet, and the gentleman that you had talked about, Tim, on Faster EFT, and I find it fascinating. But that's not the reason I brought it up. But I was looking at one of his videos, and he took somebody through a process, and he said, I need a volunteer, and he brought a lady up, and it was about belief structures and how our belief structures determine how we see. He's got different languaging, but how we see our world of actuality. And it was totally fitting in with what you were sharing, Tim, and the conversation we're having, so I thought I would share it briefly. He brought a person up, and he said, now, I just want you to imagine that you're getting off the airplane, and when you're getting off the airplane, you've seen an alligator eat a little bungee. And the lady says, well, what do you mean? What? Bungee, what's a bungee? Well, you're in Australia, you figure it out. Just let it go. Okay, now, just be aware of that. You're getting off the plane, and you see this helpless bungee being eaten by an alligator. What do you feel about it? She said, well, I don't know. He said, what do you think? He said, well, I think I'll get back on the plane. and then he pursued it a little further, and he said, well, gosh, what if the bungee was pregnant? And then she said, and then she got tears in her eyes. And all of a sudden, she created a whole reality structure just based on a few suggestions and a few tapping moves. And all of a sudden, she had this reality structure. She said, oh, my gosh, then the babies would die. And you know, there's no more babies, so the baby bungees wouldn't live anymore. And she was creating all these realities out of this silly story. And a bungee is a extending device that we use for strapping things on our cars and on our motorcycles, and they have them in Australia too. And the beauty of it is she's laughing while she's experiencing her upset about this alligator devouring this bungee, and she's seeing the baby bungee going down the alligator's mouth and blood all over, and all of a sudden there's this amazing experience she's having. And she's realizing it's just a lie, but she's having an emotional response from it, and all of a sudden it's real for her. And it's such a vivid representation of what I believe, what I actually am seeing that we all do with our minds and our reality structure in this work, this beautiful work that Dr. Tim is so supportive, and we're supporting Michael's work, is to go in with the tool of forgiveness, and any tool that works, but the tool of forgiveness is so powerful, to go in and forgive or release and untie, cancel those false realities that we have made up. All the different dying bungees we've made up in our minds, or all the different suffering bungees, or all the different, I mean, my goodness, it's such an erroneous suggestion. And to watch a person laughing at herself while she was emotionally attached to saving the bungee. And what her whole physiology started shifting, her body language started shifting. She launched into pregnancy and, you know, the baby bungees. And it was just, it's such a vivid example. And we literally do that all day long, Tim, as you said. We do it so much unless we're present in the conscious experience of what's really actually happening in our world. And the world's the stimulus or the trigger for what we hold in our reality structures and how many bungees we have in our minds that we have linked to something that we would perceive negative. And how that fits in your experience, Michelle, is that, you know, you had an experience, it appears that it sounds like that you had an experience that if the program didn't go a certain way and if you weren't ready and couldn't get the callers, then you would be messing up.
And I want Dr. Tim to respect me.
Ah, there you go. Well, Tim, I won't go there. We can go there privately. Of course, Tim respects you. But only to the degree that you're willing to receive the respect, will you perceive it. And the true respect is that you have it inside you, and you had that feeling of acceptance of self and that you're an awesome human being that you truly are, then you would perceive Tim, regardless of what he did or didn't do, as something that would either trigger something in you that shows lack of respect or a feeling of respect by his actions or his words.
Well, he's professional. He might not tip his hand. I just know he's thinking how awful I am.
Tim,
I'd love to have a comment from you. Just to be clear, just for educational purposes.
Tim, what's your statement on that one?
Huh?
I'm asking what Tim is going to say about whether or not he perceives what you just said. He sees you.
See, he's being quiet. See, there you go. See how he's being quiet? Uh-huh. Gotcha.
You might be on mute, Tim.
I'm not on mute.
He's just enjoying us, you know.
So the opportunity exists to see if a person doesn't respond right away. The opportunity exists for you to see your content that you might or that I might put on that person, in this case, Tim.
Right. And he could be eating a sandwich and have food in his mouth, but, you know, I got to make it mean that, you know, he's, you know, evidently, you know, can't defend it, so must be true.
Well, then you get to see your content about the need to defend yourself in order for something to be true.
No, that he's not defending that. You know, no, Michelle, that's not how it is.
Okay, so that's
so,
still your content.
Right, the human beings, well, I am a meaning-making machine. Got it. So it's the whole process, you know, of practicing. If you're going to make something up, you're better served if it's closer to the truth of being love than some other, you know, non-being.
If who's going to make something up?
I am. If I'm going to make something up. Come on, you guys know what making stuff up. So,
it has a little reality check, Michelle. Recently, in the last,
you know,
week and a half.
Remember, I have a mute button.
You have the control, huh? Okay.
No.
In the last week and a half or so, I got massively triggered by an experience, and all my misperceptions that I had laid on a person or a situation. And it allowed me to see and grow again with great leaps and bounds. And to the degree I'm willing to see how my content and I putting energy behind my content as a belief system that's true or could be true would be created in my world of actuality. And in seeing it, I'm able to step back and realize, gosh, this is just another stage of my own process of realization, of realizing that I have something in me that is not accurate. I thought I was right about everything.
Apparently, you're not. Oh, my God. Oh,
but the beauty of the opportunity is what's awesome. And you're lending us an opportunity to share something that I'm sure is helpful for the audience, because we get to see that no matter where we are in our own growth, no matter how often we're able to presence love, there's still material inside us that might look different than that, and the job and the work is removing it. And the forgiveness tool is so powerful to recognize the goal that you had for Dr. Tim and canceling it. And once you let that go, then Dr. Tim can just be, he can be Tim. He doesn't have to be that. How do you see that, Tim? The amazing person behind the curtain, the amazing, how do you say that exactly? Quiet again. He's probably eating his lunch. The amazing Dr. Tim behind the curtain, the great and almighty white.
All right, so from The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
I am the great and powerful Oz. I mean Dr. Tim. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
There you go. Yeah, and so that image, when you have an image or I have an image, Michelle, of Tim as a superior being or a person that is further along in his growth or his path, he may very well be, but it's the image that we project on him that will resonate something in us so we can see how we have made someone greater than we are, even though they're really not.
He's my psychological hero. Come on.
Well, you know what happens when you put someone on a pedestal. Not that Tim has ever fallen off a pedestal before, but I'm sure he might have tripped once. At least in someone's concept. Well, it gets back to that process of this wonderful tool of forgiveness that we share in this program and that Michael teaches, and it's got a body of work that's amazing. And this process that we're engaged in forgiveness, and how they can go to the website and pull that information up. And what Michelle was referring to when she said she had a goal for Dr. Tim is their goal, and it was a tongue-in-cheek goal, but there may have been other goals that she really did have. I'm not sure if you were serious on that, Michelle. Were you?
I actually was writing a little list of feelings down, so I was going to do some individual work with worksheets after the show, because there was
cool.
Embarrassment and, like I said, frustration, sadness, inadequacy. There's like at least five or so. I hope Mary Ann's taking notes.
Well, the beauty of the work is that it doesn't have to wait until later. It can happen right now. You know, the delay process.
We're doing...
What's that?
No, I think I understand. We're doing a little bit about that right now.
Yeah, and to whatever degree you and I and Tim are willing and our audience is willing to hold the space of love, and that you have something that's surfacing in you, or I have something surfacing in me, or anyone does, and we can breathe, and the presence of the consciousness of love that we're all representing is going to support healing in it. And I don't have to wait till later to heal it. And anything that comes up in me, in my field, in my thoughts and my feelings in this moment, if I'm willing to acknowledge it's there, breathe into it and allow to let it go and invite Ruka to heal it in me, it's happened. I mean, truly, it happens in the moment. And sometimes I'll want to do a delay of the healing because I think that I need to do it alone, or I think I need to do, I don't want to reveal my sadness or my fear or my pain or my embarrassment or my confusion. And the beauty is when it's presented to this much love, it's just poof, gone.
Well, Rex, actually a lot of that was happening when Dr. Tim was reflecting on the process in terms of softening and breathing. And, you know, actually, I mean, there was some of that going on, and, you know, like I can always dredge up more. So, because,
I'm excited about the moment in time when my reality structure has changed and altered so much that I'm able to be present in love, and there's no need to try to dredge anything up, and I actually can just be present in my consciousness of love and example that love. And then if something does surface, when the love is present in that, it'll just transmute it instantly. And that's what I strive to be in this moment and strive to be as an example.
Right, and I guess I'm feeling that way in this moment, and I'm not there yet, so,
awesome.
You know, it just went back in unconscious, it's, you know, it's not in my face right now.
Yeah. Well, that's what I wanted to share. And,
thank you.
Are there any other callers?
Yeah, actually, my friend Richard from Ithaca is on the phone, so hi, Richard, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Michelle.
I love you.
Love you too. Glad you called in today. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to comment. Remember the year I was down at Heartland and you were there and we first met?
Yes.
Well,
I
remember.
You because apparently you had more anger than me.
Or what?
I said I liked you a lot because you displayed more anger than me. I don't know if I have more or you have more, but it was funny because I got to see yours. And I'm like, ah.
Well, that's not what I'm calling about.
No, I know. You're reminding me about the first time we met. I just remember about, I'm like, wow, we got matching anger.
What I wanted to comment on, I had an experience this weekend of, I was out dancing with a new dance partner that I've been courting. And when I got home that night, I had a really powerful dream of, you know, drawing in her into me on the dance floor and rolling on the dance floor and all this stuff, you know. It was like just wild, you know. And then it was like very lucid dream. And then I woke up and had this quivering in my belly, you know. It was like, what is this all about? And I expressed all this stuff to her, you know, told her about this powerful dream I had and all that stuff. And she started saying, oh, that was Kundalini. And, of course, I'm coming to agreement with her about it. But what I wanted to express was the first time I observed Kundalini was when I was at Heartland and I observed you sitting on the bench one time and saw this shaking body, you know, as you were experiencing Kundalini in your own body. And I just wanted to say how, you know, that was the first time I actually observed it in somebody else, was watching Kundalini move through you. So, and consider that, you know, one of the newborn states that we want to achieve in doing the worksheet process, because you can't sense that in your body till you've left go all the negative stuff. And so I just wanted to say how powerful it was for me to experience that and to having first observed it in you to give you some positive feedback about yourself. How's that?
Richard?
Yes.
I want to apologize to you because during some of that sharing, and I'll go back and listen to it later, because I'm using my office manager's computer, I'm at the front desk of my lobby, and there's a window, and so clients are coming in to meet with therapists and make appointments and such, and so I was on mute, and I went over to handle somebody, and I missed it, so I'm like, great. Once again.
You missed what I said?
Parts of it, yes.
Oh,
and so, maybe we can.
Did you hear the part about me saying the first time I observed Kundalini in somebody was when I was at Heartland and saw it in you? That I saw Kundalini moving through you? Did you hear that part?
Was it during breathing?
No. You were sitting at the table, and you were all excited about some new job opportunity or something, and you just...
Oh, yes.
Your body was just shaking from the tail all the way up through your body, and it's like, there's Kundalini.
You're right. That was, I think, really a result of some of the work I had done over the summer because, you know, this person and that person and connections and coincidences and just catapulted me into a new opportunity to express my career in a way that was like magical. It's like, wow, really was a powerful moment. It's almost like because of what was going on, I had shed the resonance of who I was attracting in my professional life. And then what became available, and it isn't even, you know, it presented itself, and my job was just to say yes, that people that had a higher vibration resonance, and all of a sudden, that's the people I've been hanging out with. And so I do remember what you're talking about. I didn't know that you could notice that or felt it. So thank you.
I didn't say anything to you at the time. It's just like when I saw in my, you know, I just remember saying, oh, there's Kundalini. And I, you know, didn't really say anything to you about it. I just remember thinking that in my own mind, oh, this woman's experiencing this energy moving through her body. And it was like really fun to watch in some respects. But anyway, getting back to what happened for me over the weekend, it was like, this is a person who I'm looking to partner with to teach the forgiveness work as well as my movement stuff together. And so I'm calling it Formal Dance, which formal stands for forgiveness and movement for eternal life. So it was like, wow, we're resonating this Kundalini together. This is really cool. So it's more affirmation to me that this is going to be a good partnership, and really want to look forward to teaching this work together. So anyway, that's my comment for the day, and I just wanted to share with you that really the first time I'd seen Kundalini was it being expressed in your body. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
Oh, you're welcome. I hope that you have to go visit your house soon down there, maybe this summer.
Well, you know what I was thinking? You know, when I make my trip across country, maybe I should come out there and teach my class. How's that?
Oh, the stretching?
Yeah, the formal dance class I'm talking about.
Oh, I thought you meant
I'll send you an email about it or something. How about that?
Okay, thanks. Cool. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later. Have a great day, you guys. Nice to hear you, and nice to hear you on the radio with Dr. Tim. Always a pleasure. I got on late, so I didn't hear a lot of the beginning. I just caught the tail end of Rex and you got your conversation. So have a great day.
Thanks, Richard. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So what's happening, Michelle?
Well, I've got you on mute because now faxes are coming in and it's noisy. I guess
646-200-4169 is our number. If you've got a question or comment about anything that's come up yet so far or something completely different, call in. Press 1, that'll let Michelle know that you have a question, and it'll put you in the queue. And we'd be happy to support you in any questions about what's happened so far on the radio show today, what this forgiveness process is, what is available on our website. We talk about a variety of different tools, and the Reality Management Worksheet is just one of them. Another one that we used fairly recently in our support group on Tuesdays is the 3 Earliest Memories of Conflict. And that's a powerful worksheet that helps people go back to the 3 earliest memories they have of conflict in their life and then describe what the world looked like to them, what relationships looked like to them, what their view of themselves was at that time. And as people go through an exercise like that and then review a conflict that happened last week or last month or last year, they often realize that their worldview is the same today as it was when they were 5 or 6 or 8 or 12 or 17 years old when there was a conflict. And then it helps them understand and unpack some of the crystallized belief systems that get triggered over and over again. And it's helped me realize, oh, I thought I had 45 years of life going here. And really, I had about 2 or 3 years that I lived over and over and over again 45 times. So there's a tool that can help me look into, see past the blocks of my realities. And in this work, Rex was talking about reality, and I was talking earlier about actuality. So let's define this. In this work, we define an actuality is what's actually happening in the world, in the energy system that we're in the nested energy fields, within the nested energy fields, within bigger nested energy fields. That's actuality. Reality is the constructs, the images, the beliefs, the physical sensations that I create inside my head. And in this work, Dr. Rice has teased it out from ancient manuscripts, and it comes very clearly through the Course in Miracles and Way of Mastery and the ancient Kabbalist manuscript, that the reality that I create in my head has the potential to be dramatically different from the actuality in front of me. And because it can be so different, it's useful to have a way to tell when the reality in my mind actually matches the actuality that's happening around me. And the feedback mechanism for that is this sense of peace, love, compassion, joy. And when I have that individual or internal energy going on, when I create a reality based on an external experience, then that's the feedback mechanism telling me that I'm on target, that the reality I created in my mind is relatively close to the actuality that I'm living in. And whenever I have any kind of fear, sadness, hurt, tension, pain, or discomfort, that's my feedback mechanism telling me the reality I created in my mind is directly divergent. It's almost 180 degrees opposite of the actuality that I'm living in. I like the way Abraham Hicks talks about this and says, the reason I have pain when I look at an external situation and I formulate judgments against a person or a situation, the reason that's uncomfortable to me is because at the very same moment I'm looking at a person and saying they're wrong or they're bad or they're evil or they're out to get me, in that same moment, the source of all creation is looking through my eyes at that person and reaching a completely different opinion. 180 degrees different. The source of all creation is looking out through my eyes and seeing that person as loving, as whole and complete, as unblemished, as the moment that they were conceived in the Creator's mind. And so there's my feedback mechanism telling me, Tim, you've created a false image. And you might remember from the ancient commandments, thou shalt have no false images, no false gods before me. That's what we're talking about. Don't create a reality in your mind that's different than what the Creator created and put in front of you, or you'll feel pain and be alert that you need to correct your perception. So we have about a minute left. And I'll invite you to come back tomorrow. You can be on time or late, Michelle. It's okay either way. You can be with a computer that works or doesn't work. It's okay either way. And in the meantime, we would offer you the opportunity to visit the website, download these tools, put them to use, and call tomorrow if you have questions or comments about anything we talked about today or anything on the website. And in the meantime, create the best year yet of your eternal life. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.yagain.com. That's www.yagain.com. whyagain.com.
Evolving continuously.